Welcome to Writing Naked. I'm Cody, and this week I'm going to be reading one of my stories for you.
Pale by Cody T. Luff, originally published 2023. The young man sat rigid in the saddle, his back straight, his eyes swallowed whole by the shadow of his hat brim. His horse was an ugly white, the shade of bleached driftwood, a giant thing that chewed its bit in close contemplation. Samuel allowed himself a breath, the hoe still trapped in the bony web of his fingers. "I've come to kill you." The young man's voice was low, practiced. He said his line hundreds of times on his way to Samuel, his rehearsals spanning miles of red roads and high grass, his thoughts led seeds he'd waited a lifetime to plant. "I know." Samuel dropped the head of his hoe to the dry earth, half still supporting him as he leaned into the gathering evening. The young man said nothing, his lips dark in the nest of road stubble. Samuel allowed his thoughts to shape the rider's history, imagining him in short pants, lost in the wheat of some other field, the news of his dead parents slithering closer along the road to his modest little home. Mother or father, it didn't matter. The poison of it would shape whatever life followed, gathering in his bones a scaffold of grief from which he was forced to build. And now here, the Schofield revolver ready to slip naked from its holster and preach its gospel of death. "Who was it?" Samuel rested his chin against the butt of his hoe. His hat was soaked through with field sweat, the bones of his chest collecting dust and salt as rivulets found their way to his deeper places.
"Lauren McDervish, January of 1882, Park City."
The young man betrayed no emotion, his back still straight, his shoulders still. Samuel turned his gaze to the horizon. The sun was trembling its way towards the bed of wheat that stretched miles in every direction. The heat would let up, its tyranny replaced by the cool purple of the heartland evening. Here and there, Samuel could see shingled rooftops burrowed low in the shoulders of little rises. There were no hills here. God scrubbed this place flat, allowing nothing taller than what man could make.
"I don't remember," Samuel said to the horizon. The young man didn't respond. His great white horse shook off flies and eyed the trough near the black mouth of Samuel's barn.
"But I expect that doesn't matter to you."
"Does it matter to you?" the young man asked from the height of his saddle.
"Now that's a question," Samuel said. "Coffee?"
The house smelled like licorice and old tobacco. It was a good smell, one that always surprised Samuel. He'd wondered if he'd miss it. The water boiled on his black iron stove, and the young man sat with his back to the wall. They'd said nothing as Samuel worked, pouring ground coffee from his battered tin, buttering two biscuits he'd left on the table, and finally wiping out the cup he used for company.
"Man in Sheepshead said you lived alone,"
the young man gestured to the yellow dress hanging from the wall near the stove. Samuel poured coffee and nodded.
"Man from Sheepshead was right. That's my Millie's. She's been gone for 6 years."
"Wife?"
"Close enough to it."
Samuel dropped the pot back on the stove with a flat clank.
"She wasn't one for rings, and I wasn't one for buying them."
"How'd she die?"
Samuel pushed a biscuit across the little table with the back of his fingers.
"If you're asking if I killed her, your answer's no. Bad water. Did for a number of folks out this way."
The young man didn't take what Samuel offered. Samuel nibbled at his coffee and made short work of his own biscuit. The wind took up against the shingles. The bones of the house cracked in response.
"Your people, Scotch."
"This isn't a friendly conversation."
The young man's eyes were the color of Samuel's gritty coffee. "I'm here to kill you for what you've done, not drink your coffee and tell you about my people."
Samuel nodded, reached across the table and took the biscuit he'd offered his guest. "Oh, I know that. But you're here. A cup of coffee and a chair, and I ain't dead in my field, so I figured the words you've been wanting to share are here."
Hate parted the young man's lips, good teeth dry in the dim of Samuel's home. You don't even remember killing her. You don't even know what you did, who you made bleed, how many souls you cracked apart.
Samuel took a bite, biscuit crumbs ticking on the tablecloth.
No, I don't. I don't remember most of them. Killing got to be common. It was a thing I did and didn't think over much.
The young man snapped forward, his dirty fingers clamping down on Samuel's wrist. The remains of the biscuit fell to the hard-packed floor.
I'll shoot you here. Put a bullet in that mouth of yours. Paint your walls with that poison of your brain.
Not inside. Samuel kept his voice calm.
The kid's fire was up, veins pumping at his temples.
You're going to shoot me, that much is true. Just do it outside.
Why should I do anything you tell me to? You didn't give Lauren the chance.
The young man's grip tightened. Samuel wondered if his bones wouldn't give.
That's true. Even though I don't remember Lauren, I'm sure I didn't give her a fair shake. But you ain't me. You're better than me. And I don't want no blood on Millie's tablecloth.
A long moment unspooled, the little loops of time played out in breath and sweat before the young man dropped Samuel's wrist, leaned back in his chair. He chewed his breath between clenched teeth and gave Samuel his full-eyed hatred.
Thank you, Samuel said. You don't thank me. I'm here to kill you.
I know it. Samuel massaged his wrist and nodded. You got a grip, kid.
Samuel let his mind paint the young man as a carpenter. When that didn't take, he imagined him as a farmhand, working fence lines and corrals, calluses and the whipcord tendons sliding beneath his skin. Samuel thought the hate was enough to keep the kid working for a while, give him whatever materials he needed so he could track his way out here to do the thing he had to do.
I worked at the Bar T down in Humphrey. That's not far from Park City. I was there for probably a year before I would have met your mother.
Samuel nodded to himself. More like a year and a half.
Lauren wasn't my mother, the kid said.
He stood up, tall and straight, hands dangerous at his sides.
Let's go outside.
Samuel nodded.
You ready then?
The young man clenched his naked teeth and gestured to the door with one wide hand.
All right then, let's do it.
The kid's horse was hitched by the trough. Its eyes tracked them as the kid pushed Samuel to the fence. The sun lay dying on the horizon, bleeding purple and rose, and the wheat blurring the lip of the sky into watercolor. Samuel counted years as he stepped. Millie knew about this place 6 years before her death. Samuel brought it outright from a man at the bank. Mostly cash, but there had been some gold left over from his killing days. Millie didn't know a thing about farming. Samuel didn't care. They grew wheat and chickens, selling enough eggs to buy butter, and never enough wheat to buy a damn thing. He didn't care that she didn't love him, not the way he loved her. They had enough of whatever they had between them to carry on until she died. She was still alive when the first one came looking for him, an older man with a white mustache. Samuel shot him off his horse by the barn. He was buried beneath the trough, still in his fancy suit. A gold watch and a thin money clip had given them a little more ease, but Millie never forgave him. She told Samuel that if he desired to put a bullet in anyone else in the world, it better be her, or he would see the back of her as she took herself far away from their small patch of life. He made no promises, but she stayed anyway. The second one, Samuel strangled. A harder job than most folks knew. A man's throat is tough, and someone being strangled isn't going to wait politely as you close off his life. The second one had surprised him on his way to town, just down by Johnson's Creek bed. This one wasn't interested in talking. He was a big man with a big knife, and it was luck that Samuel tripped him and held him down long enough for his life to fade away beneath Samuel's thumbs. He didn't tell Millie about that one. Just rolled the big body in the irrigation ditch and let it float down the way. He never heard a word about it.
Folks in the wheat fields were tight-lipped, even when it came to bodies floating in ditches. It was the third one that finally changed things. The third one arrived the night Millie died. Fella in a tall hat just walked in, sat down, and told Samuel the way it would be, even as the tears were still coming and Millie's body wasn't 2 hours cold. The young man, this young man, was number 17. The champion of a woman Samuel couldn't remember come to collect what he thought was due. And in truth, Samuel was sure the young man was due. He knew that for a fact. The man in the tall hat had made sure he knew. "Pay attention," the young man snapped. His Schofield free of its home, mouth of the steel barrel staring at Samuel in the hungry way all guns have. "You wake up when I'm killing you." Samuel's back was to the hard spar of a fence post. The cool evening clutched his skin, bringing goose flesh to his arms. He loved that feeling as a kid, the shiver that worked its way into the back of his thighs. Samuel let his arms dangle, swallowed a breath of blue air, and said his piece. "I'm going to ask you the same as I've asked all the others that come by here with murder on their minds. I'm going to ask you to tell me about who I took from you. You asked if I cared that I didn't remember, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't. I have no face, no voice, no presence in my thoughts for the one I took from you. But you can make me care." Samuel looked past the Schofield's deadly eye and into the kids. "Who was Lauren McDervish? Who was she to you?" The kid's finger laced the trigger, and Samuel thought this was another one that was through with talking. But no shot came. The young man swayed, his revolver dipping. "I was in love with her." Samuel frowned. "You get your dates wrong. You don't look old enough to... Lauren McDervish was the school marm where I lived. She was 22 when you put a bullet in her. I was 10, but I was there when you did it." Samuel waited for the memory to return. It always did. At least since the man in the tall hat had come to visit. It was always the opposite of the delicious kiss of goose flesh. Instead, it was the sour heat that climbed from the dark hole of his belly into the back of his throat like a lump of rotten flesh. "My daddy beat me bloody every day of my life when I was a boy. He'd mark me up with belts and switches and knuckles and whatever was close to hand. He broke bones and squeezed blood out of me, and all I wanted to do was die, or make him die. Until Miss McDervish came along." The kid's voice shook, swelling and wavering, just like the barrel of his pistol. The shattering grief and the boiling hatred vying for each word as he spoke. "She couldn't stop him, but she could love me, and she did. She fed me at the schoolhouse, read to me, sewed me up when my daddy split my eyebrow. She even offered to take me in, but the town would hear of no school marm with a kid of her own and no husband to make it nice." Samuel remembered. An evening so hot sweat stood on his upper lip and shoulders in quivering drops. There was a game of cards. Someone was better at cheating than he was. A fight in front of a feed store. And when he couldn't win with his fist, Samuel drew on a tall man with a black beard. "I shot your daddy," Samuel said, not sure if it was a question or a statement.
"You shot him twice. Once in the belly, once in the ear." The young man's voice was a whisper.
Samuel's frown deepened, his memory fracturing. "I remember a kid come crying, pulling at him.
I wasn't pulling, I was hitting. I wanted to be sure you killed him."
Samuel closed his eyes, the scene playing in soft blues through his mind, the bearded man falling, a whip of blood tracing the dirt, men calling, drawing their own pistols, the kid screaming.
"He went through him," he said at last.
"The one you put in his belly wasn't satisfied. It went through his back and caught Miss McDervish just below her chin. She died surprised." Her voice shot away, her eyes rolling from me to the sky and back again. "I didn't think she knew what was happening. She was bringing me to my daddy. The kid's voice leveled out, a calm line of words steadying his shoulders and his pistol.
I didn't know I killed her, Samuel said. Hell, I didn't even know she was there.
No, you didn't, the kid said, and shot Samuel in the belly. Sound was a flat snap, a music so familiar to him that he could have hummed along had the air not been forced from his lungs. Samuel bucked against the fence post, one arm lashing out dumbly, the other tangling in barbed wire. The kid fired again, but Samuel didn't feel the second impact. The muzzle flash, a hot lick of lightning in the gathering dark. Samuel was sure the kid was saying something, finishing his story, connecting the death of Miss McDervish to this moment of revenge. But Samuel could hear nothing save for the roar of blood in his ears. A hot jet of blood laced his jeans, drops pattering the already red dust at the foot of his fence. He'd be a short-lived rain cloud. It wasn't long before he'd be face down instead of holding his belly with slick palms, his thighs wide and trembling. He didn't know how to feel about the woman. Was he responsible? He had to be. According to the man with the tall hat, his list of what he was responsible for was indelible. I couldn't kill him myself, so I thank you for that. It took my daddy 3 days to die with your bullet in his gut. It should have taken more. One more day for every day he bled me. But he got off easy, just like you. The young man was a blur. Samuel could only see his teeth in the darkness. Words chewed and spat at him as his life ran down his thighs. Are you sorry now? The kid's voice was melting away, the hiss of death replacing it. Now that was a question, Samuel thought. It wasn't enough to be sorry, that much the man in the tall hat had told him. Sorry wasn't good enough, never was. You had to pay the price, and the price just kept going up.
Tell me you're sorry, you son of a bitch!
Samuel realized he'd fallen. The hooves of the giant white horse were all he could see. They jittered nervously, clopping and skittering. He wished the kid hadn't shot him so close to the horse. It didn't deserve to be scared like that. It carried the kid all the way here, to Samuel. It didn't deserve to be scared. From somewhere far away, he could hear the kid howling Miss McDervish's name over and over again, begging for her to come see that he'd made it all right, that he'd done what he had to do, that he'd did the only thing he could do. The sun found Samuel sometime around midday. The kid had left him to rot at the foot of the fence. Dried blood pocked with whirring packs of flies outlined him beneath the empty blue sky. The first breath was always the hardest. His lungs fought life as he choked air back into them. His heart bubbled and hitched and began to beat. A half-empty machine that would slowly find its rhythm as the day went on. There was pain, sure. His torn belly, cracked throat, even his wrist where the kid had squeezed him, a chorus of reminders of his continuing damnation. When Samuel finally found the strength to stand, the flies fled, a sizzling black fog confused by his lack of death, a meal promised and taken away. He stood for a long time, his body knitting itself together, his mind a loose bag of words and memories, all jumbled down to the single letters and colors. The only thing firm was the man in the tall hat. Black, dapper mustache, humorless mouth, the eyes the color of boiled rust. He wasn't quite the devil, he wasn't quite the reaper, but he was a man of promises. When he sat down at the table, Millie Coolin in the bedroom, the man in the tall hat promised Samuel that he'd pay for every bullet he'd ever spent in the flesh of another. Every bruise, every cut, every life he'd taken. It was just the way of it. Just the way it was meant to be. And Samuel knew it. He'd always known it. Somewhere inside of himself, he'd known how it would end, or never end. Just as he recognized the man in the tall hat. Someone he'd never seen, but he was as familiar to him as Millie,
as familiar to him as his own reflection in the mirror. Samuel bent down, his balance still lost to his recent death. He scooped up the hoe he'd left in the dust when he'd invited the kid inside for coffee. He planted its head down and climbed it to a standing position, gobbling air and coughing as he did so. A sound turned his head, his eyes still full of red dust and death. A woman hunched over a saddle horn of a burly quarter horse. She was plump and red, a veiled hat askew on hair piled high, a little 38 clutched in her fingers like a dead black bird, her finger tight on the trigger. "I've come to kill you," she said.
"I know it," Samuel replied, spitting blood into the dust. "You want some coffee?"
As always, thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed this story, please remember to like and subscribe, and visit Working Title Worlds for more.